Colonel Dr. Michael Lewis graduated from West Point, did graduate work at Walter Reed Medical Center and Johns Hopkins. Lewis coordinated infectious disease programs across Asia for the Department of Defense. He was at ground zero for both SARS and bird flu. I asked Dr. Lewis if there's anything people usually overlook that could help prevent COVID-19 infection.
What don't you think about is your immune system. You know, as humans, we have pretty darn good immune systems when we can keep it healthy. And so I would say the one thing that's completely underestimated is that, you know, somebody that has a robust, healthy immune system is much, much less likely, even if they're exposed, to get this disease. I think that that's the biggest thing that people don't appreciate.
Well, how do I keep my immune system healthy?
Well, nutrition, you know, diet and exercise. So good nutrition, infections, viruses, inflammation, all thrive on sugars. So we really should be watching our sugar intake instead of sitting around watching TV, eating cake and candy and muffins and the sugary things. We should really be focused on fruits and vegetables as our source of carbohydrates. So eating healthy, you know, lean proteins, particularly seafood, will help keep your immune system more fine-tuned. You know, there's certain supplements, vitamins and minerals that can be helpful. CBD, like from hemp, derived CBD can be incredibly helpful to help support our immune system.
Really? Is that proven? Is that medically accepted? CBD helps improve your immune system?
I didn't say improve. I said it can help support your immune system.
Support? Oh. I'm still back on those, trying to think on the microbial level. The virus.
So what are some simple things to do?
Yeah, like, Michael, what about my clothes? Are my clothes just covered with germs when I get back to my house?
They are anyway, because you're out in the environment. You know, just by being in the world, you're exposed to things. That's why our immune systems function the way they do. One of the things that actually does concern me, and I think this is one of those unintended consequences, a lot of the country has gone to reusable bags, but nobody ever cleans them. And so you're putting potentially fruits or vegetables that have been touched by other people, and you're putting them in a dirty bag to begin with. I think that's one risk that we underestimate.
What about rooms where maybe someone with an infection has been?
Part of that is understanding how long these viruses last. The more porous a surface is,
like a dollar bill.
Right. It's not going to last very long. It seems that this coronavirus lasts longer on like things like hard plastic and metal.
Really? How long?
You know, some of that's being worked out. Most recent thing that I've seen has been a couple of hours. And particularly anything that's exposed to sunlight and fresh air isn't going to last very long at all.
Oh, really?
Which is all the more reason why we need to get outside and get your regular exercise and hopefully do it outside where you can get some fresh air and sunshine.
Does heat destroy this virus?
As far as we know, heat does destroy the virus, and sunshine has the added value. It helps our vitamin D levels, which helps support our immune system.
You know, what about long-term outcomes from this? What do you think?
Long-term, months to years, I'm much, much more worried about the economic and emotional impact of this. In the next year, we're looking at record number of personal bankruptcies, small businesses that go under. I'm not going to be surprised a year or so from now to see that we have an uptick in even suicides because of all the stress that people are being put under emotionally, financially, just being bombarded with this 24/7 news cycle.
We don't want to hear about anything else, and yet it's absolutely frightening.
Well, it is. But, you know, when we were kids, you got the morning newspaper and Walter Cronkite was on the evening news. And that was it. You know, there's not enough news to fill 24 hours. Put your phone down. Go for a walk in the woods or on the beach or go for a swim in the ocean. Do something that's going to benefit you from an exercise point of view, but also emotionally. Meditation and appreciation for what we have, all that can be combined with getting outside and exercising. Surfing, swimming, walking on the beach, getting fresh air and sunshine, I think are underestimated how valuable that is.
Well, that's good news, right? Colonel Dr. Michael Lewis, was a military infectious disease specialist, board certified in nutrition. He now works in the area of brain health. You heard Dr. Lewis saying how important nutrition, exercise, and sunshine are. Why not roll it all together in a garden? Let's check in with Fran Butera, founder of Foodscapes Hawaii. She does edible landscaping and has some tips on starting that garden, even on your lanai.
How they can start is to take a really good look at the site that they're thinking about growing in and get a good grip on the sun pattern, the sun exposure. Get a good sense of the wind. You don't want to be planting in a terribly windy space or a very dead space. Know that your space is close-ish to your house so that you can see it from where you are and you'll pay attention to it, but not right up against your house and not so far away that you forget about it, but and not in a dangerous place, like down a slope that's hard to walk on, that kind of thing. So understand your site, and then, you know, if you're new at this, just start small. Start with a 4x8 bed and some pots. Start small enough to have a good experience and then grow enlarge.
What would you recommend to have a good experience with? I mean, I started 1 year with strawberries. Big mistake, friend. Big mistake.
Those are a little fussy, and they take a fair amount of time before you get any fruit. Number one easy in a wide range of conditions is herbs. Basil, thyme, oregano, sage. Chili peppers, green onions, things like that. If you like to cook, you really should be growing your own herbs anyway because they're so doggone expensive at the store. So then as far as the grocery store, the food plants, it depends a little on the time of year. In the wintertime when the weather's cooler, oh, man, that's the time for greens. Your kale, your lettuces, all different kinds of lettuce, your bok choy, all your Asian greens, mizuna.
Tatsoi.
Oh, yeah, tatsoi. Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. So the leafy greens is cool weather. And then in the summertime, when the leafy greens become a little problematic because they tend to run to seed and get bitter, you want to be transitioning to tomatoes and eggplants and okra, collards for a tough, dirty green. And knowing this is the time of year to get started on that, because this is just perfect for all those plants, those edibles that we enjoy that come originally from a temperate climate. Yeah, they start in the spring, and then they're coming into their own in the hot weather. So we're moving from cool to hot. So get those tomatoes and eggplants going. Get those hot peppers going.
Okra?
Some places. Oh, okra, yeah, squash, cucumbers. Beans.
You know, can people ever grow enough of their own beans to even have a serving?
You know what's the best bean for growing here I have found over many years of trying is lima beans. And you can get a freezer full of lima beans from one crop very easily. And then you're going, okay, what do I do with all these lima beans? I hated lima beans growing up because mom served them to me out of the can. No, fresh lima beans are a blessing. And they grow so easily.
Well, but help me on this one, Fran.
Okay.
What if I live in an apartment?
Oh, boy.
What do I do?
We've done a number of condo lanais, and so the main things that you have to consider are, number one, your access to water, and number two, your drainage. If you're lucky, you have a floor drain. If you are not lucky and you don't have a floor drain, you have to be really careful about how your water drains. And there's ways to take care of it. Yeah, it's definitely doable.
And what would you recommend planting in a condo?
Well, again, a lot of it has to do with exposure, the sun exposure. So you can do herbs. You could have your entire lanai filled with herbs. I just came today from a condo lanai in Kailua. She's growing a lot of taro on hers. In pots and on a planter that we built.
Really, on a condo lanai?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, that's so heartening. But, you know, people used to raise a lot more of their own food before. I mean, before everybody had a little patch of something in their yard,
sure.
I think. You know, during World War II, right, there were these victory gardens?
The victory gardens, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's not unlike what we're going through now. It was a national crisis, the war. And the entire nation came together around this need to grow food and preserve the food supply. People from all walks of life just heeded the call. It was a patriotic duty to grow food. And it wasn't looked at as a chore or drudgery. It was looked at as an honor. something you're doing for your community, and you can see so many parallels with that now, the need to come together as a community to, for one thing, guard against the shortages that could be in our near future, and for another thing, to keep food, fresh food on the shelves for people who have no choice but to shop, our first responders, our healthcare workers who are just working so hard around the clock. All they can do is work and go shopping, and it just breaks my heart to think that people like that would go to a store and not be able to find fresh fruits and vegetables, and like that's avoidable if we make the kind of effort that Victory Gardens call to mind, you know.
That was Fran Butera. Her website, Foodscapes Hawaii, has a banner, says, "Sow hope in uncertain times." Hope and a few herbs will do a lot for dinner.